Let's try some more examples and get some more practice under our belts. Here's a simple one. Acids and bases are chemicals. We'll use AX, acid, BX, bases, CX, chemicals. Acids and bases are chemicals. Vinegar is an acid. Therefore, vinegar is a chemical. We need VX, X is vinegar. So now how do we do the very first sentence? Acids and bases are chemicals. Is it an existential or universal quantification? It's universal. It doesn't say some or all, but it means, implied, all acids and bases are chemicals. Given any X, if X is an acid, X is a base, then X is a chemical. And what's the connective in here? You can't say, given any X, if X is an acid and a base, there's no such thing. And that's not what it means to say. If given any X, if X is an acid or a base, then it's a chemical. And you need the square bracket to extend the quantifier over the X in C of X. So that's the right way to formulate premise one. Acids and bases are chemicals. Then the vinegar is an acid. Some vinegar or all means all, doesn't it? If X is a vinegar, X is an acid. That's premise two. And that's all there are, two premises. Therefore, vinegar is a chemical. This is not a difficult proof. It's very easy, especially if you use conditional proof, which you're supposed to do wherever possible. Since the conclusion is an implication, it's possible. So we get to write down P, V of X. And then we get to instantiate, let's see. I don't want to use X there. What I want to do first is instantiate both the premises. So let's do that. UI of 1 gives us this. UI of 2 gives us and now we want to write down a P step for conditional proof. And what we can do is write down V of A here, it's P. The P step can be written down already instantiated if that's what you need, or not, it's whatever you need. But you put it down because we're going to get rid of it when we do the second step, the C step. So this is fairly straightforward then. Here's modus ponens, A of A, modus ponens 4 and 5. And then for line 7, addition, rule of addition, I had BA, I disjoined BA to AA. This is addition to 6. And then I do modus ponens again and get CA. That gives us CA by modus ponens. And then all we need to do is the second part of the CP step, which is VA implies CA. And this is C. We call them conditional proof, the first step P and the last step C. And this meets the requirements for universal generalization, which would be the last step of the proof, because A wasn't introduced free by EI. It's not free in the conclusion, and it's not free in any premise of this line, which is the line to be generalized. This is not a premise to the line because we put it back into the line. So we're allowed to now generalize this into the following which is exactly the conclusion called for. This is UG of line 9. And that's a very simple, straightforward kind of proof. It's very easy. The ones on the exam may not be quite this easy. So let's try some more. Let me get rid of this so we have the room. And meanwhile, you try putting this down. Teachers are either enthusiastic or unsuccessful. And we'll use TX for teacher and EX for enthusiastic and UX for unsuccessful. Teachers are either enthusiastic or unsuccessful. And then the second premise is teachers are not all unsuccessful. Therefore, there are enthusiastic teachers. And see how you do with that while I get some room to put it up on the board. Okay, how did you come with that? Doing pretty well? Let's see if we have a go at it here. Teachers, it doesn't mean one. There's some one teacher. It means any teacher is either enthusiastic or unsuccessful. So we'll do this way. Given any X, if X is a teacher, then the teacher is either enthusiastic or unsuccessful. And that's what the first premise would look like. So, premise two. Teachers are not all unsuccessful. Now, we don't want nots in front of quantifiers. So we're not going to write all teachers are successful and put a not in front of it. It's going to be there is at least one teacher who is not unsuccessful. If you put the not in front of the quantifier, then you can't instantiate it. So you have to do it as an existential proposition. And if not all teachers are unsuccessful, that's because there's one that isn't. There's at least one teacher that's not unsuccessful. And then, therefore, there are enthusiastic teachers. And again, this means that there's at least one teacher who is enthusiastic. Get this other thing out of our way here. So you should find the proof of this fairly easy now. Three, we're going to instantiate. Remember our rule of thumb. Always do the EI step first. If you don't do that, if you instantiate line 1 with UI, if you do the UI on 1, suppose you instantiate with A or some other constant, then you can't instantiate line 2 with the same one. You can't do the problem. So you do the EI step first. EI of 2. because you can use A because there's no free A in any previous line. Then you can instantiate 1 with A as well, because there are no restrictions on UI. And now simplify TA from line 3 and do modus ponens, and you get EA or VA. That's not V, it's U, right? Yeah, UA. This is modus ponens of 4 and 5. And now you simplify and get the not UA. That simplification of 3 again. And now disjunctive syllogism, EA or UA, not UA, so EA, disjunctive syllogism 7 and 6. And then you can join the TA in 5 to the EA in 8. TA and EA conjunction 5 and 8. And now you're ready for an EG step, existential generalization. And as you remember, there are no restrictions on that at all. If I've got this, this says there's thing A is both is a teacher and enthusiastic, then there's something that's a teacher and enthusiastic. TX and EX, EG, existential generalization of line 9. And there is the proof that this is a valid inference. Okay, I hope that these are coming easier to you now and you're getting them before I do. Let's try a few more. We've got a number to practice with. I think we ought to take advantage of, use them all, and get all the practice we can here, because this is what you're going to have to do on the final exam. Here's another one then. Argon compounds and sodium compounds are either oily or volatile. We're going to use AX for argon. Sodium, SX. Oily or volatile. Argon compounds and sodium compounds are either oily or volatile. Not all sodium compounds are oily. Therefore, some argon compounds are volatile. I want you to try that while I clear this board and we'll put it up. But I have to tell you right now that it smells invalid to me. It has that tang of invalidity. Now, if you are confronted with an argument and you don't know whether it's valid or it's not, you try to construct a proof of validity, and if you fail, then you try invalidity. If that fails too, then you know you've goofed somewhere. It's one or the other. On the exam, you won't have to figure them out. I'll tell you which ones are valid. You do those, then there's a proof of invalidity and it's clearly marked, prove this invalid. So you won't have to try to figure it out. But here in the exercises, that's where we are. We're figuring it out as we go. So let's see how this turns out. Given any X, if X is an argon compound, or X is a sodium compound. Then it's oily and volatile, are either oily or volatile. It's either or. Oily or volatile. And we need the square bracket to send the universal quantifier over the whole line. Premise two. Not all sodium compounds are oily. So there's one that isn't. There's at least one argon compound that's not oily. And then this is a simple argument again with just two premises. So the conclusion is some argon compounds are volatile. There's at least one argon compound that is volatile. And there are the premises and the conclusion. And let me have another look here. Okay. Now, I suspected when I heard it, when I read it aloud, I heard myself read it aloud, and it sounded invalid to me. And now that I look at it, it looks even worse. It's I think, definitely invalid. So we're going to have to expand the lines, the premises, and the conclusion of this argument. And you remember, our rule of thumb for expanding the lines is that you expand to a universe with one more member than the number of existential quantifiers in the premises. There's only one sitting right there. So you need a two-membered universe. And it's going to look like this. That's line one, expanded, universal expanded by conjunction. And line two, wait a minute, what in the world? I put the wrong connective in here. There's at least one argon compound that's not oily. It's not if then, it's and. The main truth functional connective following an existential is almost always and. So we need and, not OA. Sorry about that. So this is thing A, and it's expanded by disjunction. Here's thing B. And the conclusion is going to look like this. A and V, A, or AB and VB. And to take care of this, all I have to do is make A false and A false and AB false. And that makes it, since this is a conjunction, one member is false, the whole thing is false. False or false makes this line completely false. That's what we want. And then, having made it that way, those are false. Can't do that. So, we can make AB. No, I'm going to make VB false down here. Now, this is, as I explained to you, it's trial and error. You have to just work on it. So, I have something false in each of the disjuncts that are the conclusion. So, the conclusion's taken care of. It's already false. But one or the other of these up here has to be true. So since FA is already false, it's not this side. So we've got to make AB and not OB both true here. And then that makes this line true. And let's see, if we make SB false here as well, that takes care of the first half of this. False implies true or false, it wouldn't matter, that's true. And then all we need to worry about is the second part of line one. And we have nothing committed here. We only have VB committed. VB is false. But if OB is assigned to be true, no, you can't do that, get not OB. So this is false. This is also, no, if not OB is true, OB is false. And then SB, we have not committed to anything here, correct? And nor have we for AB. Yes, AB is true. That's not going to work. So let's try it another way. Let's try making VA and VB false. Okay. I have to get the previous marks off the board there. So here we're going to make VA and VB, the false ones. And see how that works for us. There's a VB here, and no other VB. VA there, and no other VA. Okay. So, OA needs to be, or the, no, if we make not OA true and AA true, that'll make this true false, so that's no good. So we, OB. We want to make a, no, that wouldn't make any difference. An S, that takes care of this part of this line, but it makes this one false. So this has to be true, AB and not OB both have to be true. And there's nothing to prevent that. Would make this false. So, guess what? My hunch that it was invalid was wrong. So what we're going to do now is construct the proof that it is valid. Because it just wouldn't work out. That's backward from what I told you should usually do. Usually, if you don't know which it is, you should try a proof of validity first, and then invalidity. But here, I tried it invalid because I suspected that it was, and I was wrong. So now what we do is instantiate the existential first, remember? Always do the EI step first. EI of 2. And then UI of 1, A or S, UI of 1. Simplify and get the A from line 3 to A add or not OA, addition to 5. Then you get OA or VA by modus ponens of 6 and 4. And from line 3, simplify and get not OA. Disjunctive syllogism, you get VA. Disjunctive syllogism of 8 and 7. 10, you can join the A and the V. AA and VA. Conjunction of 9 and 5. And for 11, you do EG. And you get AX and VX. EG of 10. So, I hope that's clear, and that you learned something by seeing my hunch be wrong. I tried to make the assignments for the invalidity, and it just wouldn't work. So, it's got to be a valid argument. And here it is. All right. Let's try something just a little bit more difficult. I mean, just a little longer. How are we on time?
3 minutes.
Three minutes. We have time to get this, translate it and get it up on the board, and then we'll solve it in the next session. Okay. No employer who is either inconsiderate or tyrannical can be successful. So we're going to use EX as an employer and IX is inconsiderate, TX is tyrannical, and SX is successful. No employer who is either inconsiderate or tyrannical can be successful. Some employers are inconsiderate, therefore there are tyrannical employers. There's our key, it's all we need. And I'll see you again in the next session. I'll have the board cleared and we'll go ahead with the proof on this one.